Evening, Julian.
Hey, what are you all doing here?
What you got cooking there?
Don't you know I have work to do?
Julian Mayfield was an activist, academic, writer, and the leader of our group of revolutionists returnees, if such a group of eccentric expats could be led. We had gotten wind of the arrival of a package of sausage from Washington, D.C., and had converged on the Mayfield home.
Oregano and sage. And fried pork.
All right, all right. Go out on the porch. I'll bring it along directly.
Thank you, Julian.
Homesickness was never mentioned in our crowd. We chewed the well-spiced patties and were ravenously devouring Houston and Macon, Little Rock, and St. Louis.
Now, some bad news, I'm afraid. Dr. Du Bois is sick. Lucid, but very sick. He says he's stopped learning, and it's time for him to go.
Dr. Du Bois was a revered intellectual and activist. He was a leader in the Pan-African movement and sought solidarity between all people of African descent. He had come from the U.S. with his wife to live his final years in Ghana at the invitation of President Kwame Nkrumah himself.
Well, and some better news. What? There is to be a march on Washington, D.C., to be led by Dr. Martin Luther King.
Uh-huh. King's been in jail so much, he got a liking for those iron bars and jailhouse food.
We were brave revolutionaries, not pussyfooting nonviolent cowards. Of course, none of us, save Julian, had even been close to bloody violence, and not one of us had spent an hour in jail for our political beliefs. I kept quiet when Reverend King's name was mentioned and managed to persuade myself I was not betraying him. Yet as maddened white citizens and political leaders vowed to die before they would see segregation come to an end, I became more resolute in rejecting nonviolence and more adamant in denying Martin Luther King.
Radicals, though we are.
Yes!
Shouldn't we, as black Americans, support our people in the States?
How?
Well, we can march here. In sympathy with the Washington march.
We need to get the word out.
Yes.
We made arrangements late into the night, our heads filled with a new and exciting charge, and our fingers still smelling of spicy pork sausage. Because of the 7-hour time difference, we plan to begin our march at midnight on the 26th in the park across from the American Embassy.
You're late, Julian.
I'm sorry. I need to talk to you. Something has happened.
What's wrong?
I don't think we should tell everyone, but you should know. Dr. Du Bois is dead.
No. Oh, Julian.
We're timing. I think we should tell everybody. They'll feel more like marching.
Maya?
I agree.
We fanned out, carrying the important news to the congregation. One person started the singing, and we all joined in.
And before I'll be a slave, I'll be buried in my grave and go home to my God and be free.
Let's march!
We marched and sang, thinking of home and the thousands who were marching in Washington, D.C., and the dapper little man, Dr. Du Bois, who said in 1904, the problem of the 20th century will be the problem of the color line. A West African downpour had drenched us in the early hours, and dawn drifted in on a ragged file of damp and worn-out marches.
Maya! I think we need to be careful. There, on the roof of the embassy.
Marines.
And they're pointing their guns this way.
Two soldiers came out of the embassy door, carrying a folded American flag. Ignoring us, they stepped smartly to the flagpole. As the flag ascended...
This is an Iwo Jima, guys!
You haven't taken Bunker Hill, you know. This is Africa!
One of the soldiers was black.
Brother! Brother, why don't you come over here and join us? What has that flag done for you?
That flag won't cover you in Alabama!
Watching the flag wave in the breeze made us nearly choke with emotion. It lifted us up with promise and broke our hearts with its denial. We knew that the two soldiers were not our enemies, and that our sneers did not hide our longing for full citizenship under that now undulating flag. The march was over. I went home alone, emptied of passion, and too exhausted to cry.
I am still a Muslim. I am still a minister. And I am still black.
Malcolm X had arrived at midday in Accra. And by evening, the Mayfields' house was filled with expatriates.
But my trip to Mecca has changed many other things about me. When I return to America, I will make statements which will shock everybody. Of course, people would be really shocked if Malcolm X wasn't shocking. Brothers and sisters, the situation in America has not lightened up. Black people are still marching, sitting in, praying in, and even swimming in. White Americans are still saying they don't want blacks in their restaurants, churches, swimming pools, and voting booths. But here's some new news.
When I had met Malcolm 2 years earlier, he had been the bombastic spokesman for Elijah Muhammad's Nation of Islam. He called whites blue-eyed devils, and accused America of totalitarian genocide.
On this journey to Mecca, I met white men with blue eyes, who I can call brother with conviction.
We sat enthralled.
I am not in favor among the followers of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, but a person must make the effort to learn, and growing is the inevitable reward of learning.
So why have you come to Ghana?
Well, the same reason I went to Cairo and Lagos. I need as many government contacts as possible so that when I take the case of the black American before the General Assembly of the United Nations, I can be sure of African support. If South Africans can petition the UN about apartheid, then America should be shown on the world stage as a repressionist and bestial racist nation.
Do you want us to arrange for you to meet Ghanaian officials and to see President Nkrumah?
Black Americans, you all are really something. You just got here, and already you know the president.
Only Julian had actually met the president. Most of us had never even seen him in the flesh. But right now, that did not matter. In 1 week, we were able to introduce Malcolm to cabinet ministers, the African and European diplomatic corps, as well as the Cuban and Chinese ambassadors. Julian and I were his chauffeurs, while Vicky was secretary. The Ghana Press Club threw a party for him. Malcolm sat quietly, never moving. When the High Life Band took its break, Malcolm was asked to speak.
I thank you for your invitation, but I'm in no mood to dance. I think of my brothers and sisters at home, squirming under the heel of racial oppression, and I do not care to dance. I think of our brothers and sisters in the Congo, squirming under the heel of imperialist invasion, and I do not care to dance.
He visited the university and answered students' questions.
Why do you call yourself a black man when you look more like a white man than a Negro?
I've been waiting for that question since I landed in Africa. Many people have thought it, but you're the first person to have the courage to ask. As slaves, we were the property of slave masters. Our men were worked to death. Our women were raped. Many of the children were born looking like me.
But despite all our efforts, we were not able to get Malcolm an audience with President Kwame Nkrumah.
What about Dr. Du Bois's widow? Surely she can arrange a meeting in seconds. She's so close to Nkrumah. I mean, doesn't he call her his little mother?
I've tried her. She's not available.
What? Yes, deliberately not available.
Shirley Graham Du Bois's creative intelligence. She was a composer, a playwright, a prize-winning biographer, and an activist in civil rights. None of that mattered to me. I was incensed that this powerful woman, who had a direct link to the president, was unwilling to help. On Malcolm's last night in Ghana, we were at the Chinese residency.
My, look, Shirley Du Bois is here.
She walked immediately to Malcolm and led him away by the arm. After nearly an hour of one-on-one conversation, Shirley and Malcolm emerged and rejoined the party.
This man is brilliant. I am taking him for my son.
Later that evening at home...
Hell, before she wouldn't even see him.
Does it matter, Maya?
Yes, it does. I can't stand that.
Hello? Yes?
Yes! Oh, okay, bye. Success, success!
President Nkrumah will see Malcolm at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Oh. So Shirley must have gone straight home and called the president and told him he had to see Malcolm. She could have done that a week ago, but no.
Oh, come on, Maya. Better late than never. We should be celebrating.
The next morning, my heart was still hardened to Shirley Du Bois. When the revolutionist returnees met Malcolm after his meeting with the president, instead of inquiring about the meeting, I stood apart, pouting, as the Chinese, Yugoslav, Cuban, Algerian, and Egyptian ambassadors arrived, all vying to escort Malcolm to the airport.
Man, we ought to pay you for this visit. You've given this poor group of black exiles some status.
Which diplomatic limousine you gonna ride in, Malcolm?
I'm going to ride with Maya and Julian to the airport.
3 6-footers tried to be comfortable in my little Fiat.
Now, Sister Maya, what do you think of Shirley Du Bois?
I let loose.
She lacks faith. She doesn't identify with the black American struggle sitting up there in the catbird seat looking down on the rest of us. She's superior.
Now, sister, I thought you were smart. But I see you were very childish.
What?
Have you thought that her husband has only been dead a few months? At her age, she needs some time to consider that she is walking around wounded, limping on one leg.
But Malcolm...
Keep your eyes on the road, bud.
Sister, listen and listen carefully. There was a time when you didn't know what you know today. Don't be in such a hurry to condemn a person because they don't do what you do.
I felt small enough to walk around in the palm of his hand.
I will think about it.
I can't ask for any more. We are called to defend ourselves all the time in every arena. We need now more than ever hard, serious thinkers. Keep thinking, Maya, and use your thoughts wisely.
I would never forget his words. Malcolm X had the maturity of compromise. At the airport, the ambassadors swooped him away. And then he was gone, on his way back to the U.S. Malcolm's presence had elevated us. But with his departure, we were what we had been before. A little group of black folks looking for home.